It's always a joy to be able to bring the good news of Jesus to you. And today, the text that we're going to be looking at for the message is the epistle reading appointed for this third Sunday in Lent. And so it comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And if you want to follow along, it can be found on page 957 of your Pew Bible. 957, verse 1. Or, well, it says, okay, yeah, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Throw yourself back in time to the days of Martin Luther, okay? The early 1500s, you know, and he is, he's at war with the Roman Catholic Church because he had realized that many of their teachings that came from, power-hungry popes and power-hungry councils, and often greedy popes and greedy councils, they had changed the doctrine of the church to suit their selfish needs. And you, of course, are mostly aware, I'm sure, of the indulgence problem, where the church was selling these indulgences so that people could buy them and supposedly get out of purgatory for a certain length of time. I wouldn't have to, burn in payment for their sins. Or they could free a loved relative from purgatory. And that was just an abuse of the power that the church had. And Martin Luther wanted to see it gone. And then to return the church to the way that it the pure doctrine that it had before those popes or councils started messing with it. And so that's really what the Reformation started as. And then as he continued in studying the scriptures, he was awakened to the idea of God's righteousness. And he finally understood what he had not understood his whole life. And that is that when the Bible speaks of righteousness in Romans, of God's righteousness, it is not talking about a righteousness that we can attain by our works, but it is a righteousness that is bestowed upon us when we believe in Christ Jesus. That Jesus he had fulfilled the law in his perfect obedience while on the earth. And when he went to the cross, a glorious exchange took place. And he exchanged his righteousness, the righteousness of God, for our sinfulness. And that was the gospel. And that was the gospel that was proclaimed by the early church. And all of a sudden, he said, it felt like he was born again. And he was. He finally got the gospel. And he wanted to make sure that it was, that we straightened it out for all time. And so he fought vehemently against this idea that works plus faith made someone righteous, because that was the teaching of the Catholic Church. And he said, no, that's the wrong formula. It's not faith plus works. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, equals salvation. How many of you Lutherans have heard that once or twice before? I can't see a couple of hands. Good. All right. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, okay, is salvation found. And it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. And he pounded it. And people caught on. They said, that's right. Okay? And so the world started changing. Yes, salvation is free. Of course, then, you know, the Reformation kind of took a different shape and went off in different directions, and the doctrine started, you know, getting distorted in other ways, okay? But the Lutherans kept pounding salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and it is not by works, lest anyone should boast. And so, finally, 500 years later, works is almost a dirty word in this church. We don't like to... Works! Oh, not works. We're Lutheran. We don't believe in works around here. And that's honestly a big fault of the Lutheran Church. We have people who think, they're not going to profess this, although I've heard people come very close. I'm baptized. You know, I'm baptized. I come to the Lord's Supper occasionally. I'm at church enough. God forgives me of my sins. And they live like they need to never pay attention to how they're living, because they believe God forgives them of their sins. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had a name for this, okay? He lived, through the period of early 1900s, and was actually a conspirator against Hitler and was put to death for his attempt on Hitler's life, but a theologian and a Lutheran. And he called this kind of understanding cheap grace. Cheap grace is trying to get absolution without confession. Cheap grace is going to the Lord's Supper without examining yourself first. Cheap grace is believing that your sins are forgiven and it does not matter how you live your life. And that brings us to the text, because that's exactly what was going on in Corinth. And that's what Paul is addressing at this church. And he says, look, I want you to look back at your ancestors, because they are an example for us. You see, they were baptized with the same baptism. They went through the sea, the Red Sea. God parted it. I mean, what else do you imagine was happening when they went through the Red Sea? God was telling them, I love you. I am saving you. I'm bringing you forth out of slavery. You belong to me. Oh, and by the way, there were children that went through the Red Sea too. That baptism was for them. Baptism is of God. It's not of people. And so it doesn't matter how old you are. This is God saving us. by his power, not us saving ourselves by our own will. He said, look, they had their baptism. And when they were in the wilderness, Paul says, they also had their that spiritual food, the same spiritual food. They ate the manna that fell from heaven, and they drank from the spiritual, from the rock that gave them water that followed them, he says. The rock that followed them was Christ. And remember, Moses would strike the rock and water would pour out. Now, if those people who went through the Red Sea understood what God was doing for them as they walked through the waters, you know, and understand he is saving me from slavery, and they would be so thankful that God was saving them and removing them from, you know, from slavery and the sin of Egypt and the promise of everlasting life and the ability to worship God as they pleased, then they would have gladly accepted the manna from heaven and seen it as God's wonderful provision. Look at this. We're out in the middle of the desert, and we would be dying, but God loves us so much, he sends manna from heaven. And if they had received that manna in that attitude and in that light, as they ate the manna, they would have been eating God himself as he gifted them with his food from heaven. That's what happens in the Lord's Supper. As we believe and take him in, we take God himself in. But instead, they grumbled and complained. And when they took the manna in, they took judgment in upon themselves. And we do the same thing when we do not examine ourselves when we come to the Lord's Supper. If they had seen every time Moses struck the rock and the water came forth and they drank that water and said, God is quenching my thirst. He's always providing for me. And look, he's followed us with this rock, and he's never going to let us go. Then every time they drank from the rock, they would have been drinking God himself. But instead, they grumbled and complained and wanted what they used to have when they were in slavery, to the point that they even made idols and worshiped the idols and danced before it and committed adultery in front of it. And so when they drank from the rock, instead of drinking in God, they drank in judgment upon themselves. Paul is saying, you're doing the same thing. You've got baptism, and you've got the Lord's Supper, and you think that that is all you need. That as long as you have baptism, as long as you have the Lord's Supper, then you don't pay attention to the way you live. And you would be wrong, Paul's saying. Do not fall into the sin that these people fell into. Don't fall into the sin of idolatry. And that is a common sin for us. Not many of us have idols in our homes. I hope none of us do. But we sure make idols of that green stuff in our back pocket or in our purse. All of us are tempted in ways to give that way more value than we should. We also, you know, give in to the lust of the flesh in ways that we should not. We watch TV shows that we know we shouldn't be watching. We stare way too long at the pornography that pops up on the screen, or, you know, when you hit the wrong site, or even go to it on purpose. There are things that, you know, we let our minds go to as married people that we shouldn't. And we think nothing of it. Because after all, Jesus forgives me. That's not the attitude he wants us to have. but rather that we live every day in our baptism. And what Luther says about that is this: living your baptism means living in daily repentance, dying every day to the flesh, never giving in, and when you do, seeking forgiveness. Because you have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You have been buried and resurrected in Jesus Christ. And you are called to no longer live in this way. And do not trample on what he has done for you by simply imagining that I've been baptized and so it doesn't matter. It does matter. And when we come to Holy Communion and we have not examined ourselves and we simply think, well, God forgives, and we have not come, we don't come repentant. Paul is very firm in that when you come, you bring judgment upon yourself. When we bring God into ourselves, he's going to bring one of two things. He's going to bring forgiveness for the repentant, and he's going to bring judgment for the one who believes himself to be right without repentance. Now, we all have our temptations, don't we? And you say, what do I do? You know, how do I get better? What do I, you know, there are things that I need to change in my life. And how do I, you know, get through these temptations that I have? How am I going to be victorious over these things? Well, the answer is, look, your baptism follows you. It's like that rock in the wilderness that's always there for you. Your baptism follows you. It's right with you. And as you make the sign of the cross over yourself, or you envision your baptism, and you remind yourself that Jesus Christ has died for you, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is desperately in love with you, that God the Father was willing to give up his Son for you. When you realize how much you mean to God, how much he loves you, how much you mean to him, you can get through any temptation. You can get through any temptation. And that is the means by which he says he gives you an escape. Look, when you're tempted, there is no temptation that you can't get through if you remember your baptism. Because what are you doing? I'll tell you why people fall into adultery. They want to feel like they're somebody, that they're loved, that they're special. And here's somebody that's telling me that they are. I know it shouldn't be that person, it should be somebody else, but I'm feeling really special. I'm feeling really loved when this person is paying me attention. How do I keep from that temptation? Remember that you are loved. Remember that God loves you so much he gave his Son for you. Remember your baptism, that you have been buried and resurrected in the love of God. And it's all despite your sin. You merited none of this love. He just loves you. But that's who you are. You're a child of God. That's how you can refrain from sin and falling into those types of sins. By remembering who you are. By remembering that God has put his mark on you. He has marked you as redeemed by Jesus the crucified. That's who you are. Take your baptism wherever you go. whether it's to a baseball game and you are trying, you know, to, you know, convince yourself that, you know, you matter because you get a base hit. Because that was me when I was a kid. My self-esteem would go right into the dirt if I struck out. Until I learned to remember my baptism and say, Lord, I'm your child, whether I strike out or not. And you know what's amazing? Once those fears are gone, you relax and you become the baseball player that you were meant to be. It may not be that good a baseball player, but you're the one that you're meant to be. Be the person that God means you to be. Everything that he means you to be by remembering your baptism. Amen. All right. It's now time for our offering.